Singing When You Don't Know How to Pray. Written by Ghostwriter of the Machine. Summary. So why was Luffy so determined to get a musician for his crew? Or, song, singing, and shanties on the high seas. Podficker's Notes. Produced for Voice Team 2026 for the challenge Lay Your Burdens Down. Chapter 1. Sanji. Read by
Sensational Shady as Zeph.
Dara Liz as Patty.
Park and Schnaffengottom
as Lorenzo.
Melody of the Rain as Chorus.
Book Loverell as Sanji.
The Narwhals Reed as Nico Robin.
And Chicycle Podfix as narrator. It is the end of a notably exhausting shift. Both a marine crew and a pirate crew limped into the Baratier, holding each other up instead of trying to kill each other, for once. Both victims of the same unseasonable weather pattern in the tumultuous waters where North and East Blue swirl together. They'd all been trapped in some secluded cove for weeks, made a truce so they didn't all die right there. By the time they arrived in kinder waters, they had no food. By the time they dragged themselves to the door of the floating restaurant, they would have eaten scraps from the garbage. Of course, they got much better than that. That's Zeph and Sanji and the rest of the cook's pride. But that means they'd all spent hours preparing and running out dish after dish to the nearly 200 sailors who packed into their dining room and spilled onto the outside deck. Now, all their guests have left, tearful and hopeful and full, so thankful they could barely string sentences together, and the whole staff of the Baratier is crowded in the kitchen, cleaning and restocking and preparing to do the whole thing again tomorrow, though hopefully with less chaos. Usually, cleanup and prep is a lively time in the restaurant, filled with barking voices which are not as angry as they sound, and good-natured ribbing, and making plans for grabbing drinks or a card game before bed. Tonight, there's only scuffling and the sound of the water from the sink, with the occasional yawn speckled in. Sanji stands on a step stool, scrubbing dishes in warm water. Usually his job is ingredient prep, but Zeph stops him on his way to the station and smooths back his bangs from his eyes. He examines Sanji's drooping lids and clicks his tongue.
We can't have blood in the onions at plant,
he says, letting his hand run through the rest of Sanji's hair in a way that is certainly not tender, and Sanji certainly doesn't lean into like a very sleepy kitten.
Start in the pots.
Sanji doesn't even have enough energy to argue, outside of a mandatory scowl and grumble. So he rolls up his sleeves and scrubs the pots, the kitchen quiet save for the chopping of knives and the clink of china and metal. And then Lorenzo, their oldest chef by over a decade. They say he got his start when Roger was still young, and isn't that a thought? Starts humming under his breath. It goes on like that for a few minutes, something sweet that creeps its way between the kitchen sounds. Patty slams his rolling pin down and spins on his heel.
Hey,
he says, pointing at Lorenzo. The whole kitchen stops and stares at him.
If you're gonna do that,
he continues,
at least do it loud enough to share with the rest of us.
Lorenzo blinks. Then he snorts and says,
what, kid, you know that one?
We were all some kind of sailors, old man. We all know that one.
So Lorenzo rolls his eyes, grabs a ladle from the side of the sink he's working at, and bangs it a few times on the counter, steady like a heartbeat. Then he glances around to where all the other cooks have paused to look at him. He clears his throat and belts out, in a voice that's deep and craggy and vibrates the room.
West Blue girls ain't got no combs.
And, as if summoned from some other dimension, the other cooks join in together.
Heave away, haul away.
Comb their hair with the old fish bones. And
we are bound for the grand line.
Heave her up my bully.
Lorenzo
bully
turns
boys.
His back to the room, back to prepping peppers for the breakfast crowd, but he continues to throw his voice into the song, some of the other chefs joining him on the call, but nearly everyone joining in on the response. Sanji watches all of this with a tilted, heavy head, all confusion. Everyone's hands fall back to their work, the scrubbing and the chopping and the kneading, this time in step with the pounding, consistent rhythm of the song.
Heaver up, my bully, bully boys.
The work seems lighter now.
Heaver up, and don't you make a noise, and we're
bound away for the ground.
As Lorenzo begins to belt out how South Blue Cats have no tails, Sanji glances over and sees that Zeff is tapping his one foot along, too, and singing the response. He dips his hands back into the hot, soapy water and tentatively adds his voice to the next refrain.
Heaver up, my bully, bully boys.
Heave away, all away.
Heaver up, and don't you make a noise, and we're
bound away for the Grand Line.
It is, for once, a quiet day on the Grand Line. This is probably making up for yesterday, which was not a quiet day on the Grand Line, and one that they spent fighting with and running away from Marines like a half-blind seabird. Now, though, Mary is filled with the easy noises of tired bodies doing their work, and Sanji wants to melt into it like a pat of butter. Sanji washes the dishes, and Robin reads a book behind him. Lunch had been a simple fare, seafood salad and rolls and potato chips, which are his current culinary fixation when he has a spare afternoon. He's still trying to get them to crunch correctly. Luffy has a rapidly healing black eye and ate enough for three. Zoro's arm is bound up in a sling because he let some low-level grunt dislocate it, the moron, so he scowls as he stabs the food with his fork. Sanji gets to give both his ladies a fruit drink he is probably embarrassingly proud of. But it makes them smile, and therefore his embarrassment is irrelevant. Sanji himself is sore in some ambiguous place between ribs and hip, but that'll fade, he knows. It hurts more when he's sitting, anyway, and he needs to stand to do the dishes. Usually, he gets Zoro to help him with this particular chore, but the idiot can't do much with one hand right now, and would probably break Sanji's dishes out of spite if he asked. He's also not about to ask Robin, not when it's just lunch dishes, and he's washed more than this in between shifts when he was 12. And it isn't fun, because washing anything is rarely fun, but it's familiar in a way that makes something warm and aching settle in his chest, and he abruptly misses the smell of the cinnamon gum Zeff chews, the heavy herbal cigarettes he never favored, but Carney sometimes split with him in the early mornings, the cedar of the Baratier's decks. Stupid, sentimental nonsense. Sanji still can't believe he gets to have those sorts of memories. He's got a good rhythm going, of dipping plates and pots and scrubbing them, of the familiar tactile sensation of his hands in soapy water. It's quiet. A movement which began as him stretching his calf turns into him tapping the tip of his toe behind him, steadily and constantly. Sanji doesn't realize when he starts half-singing under his breath.
East Blue doctors ain't got no pills.
As his hands lift, scrub, place aside to dry.
Heave away, haul away, give the patients codfish gills. We are bound for the Grand Line.
A low, sweet voice joins him in finishing the verse, tilting up at the end as if in a question. Sanji jumps out of his skin and whirls around, flinging water from the tips of his fingers across the kitchen. Robin has put her book down on the table and rests her chin on her palm, watching him with an expression on her face which he cannot place. He flushes up to his ears.
Robin, dearest, my deepest apologies. I didn't mean to disturb...
You didn't. If anything, I'm disturbing you, cook.
She tilts her head in that odd, restrained way of hers and smiles.
You can never, my dear, but I...
Do you know the version with the refrain?
She interrupts him.
Or with just the verses?
I...
Sanji falters.
I grew up with the refrain.
Robin hums, as if he's just said something deeply interesting. Then she gestures with a little flick of her fingers, which makes Sanji want to swoon.
Don't let me keep you. Please, go back to what you were doing.
I don't know if...
But then she says...
It would make me happy.
And Sanji is a weak, weak man. He falls back into the easy motions of dishwashing, and finds the song is curled up almost eagerly on the tip of his tongue, ready to make the work a bit lighter. He can almost hear Lorenzo belting in the echoes of his own voice. All the easy sounds of home.
Heave her up, my bully, bully boys. Heave away, haul away. Heave her up. And don't you make a noise?
And if Robin joins in on the response lines, quietly, as she turns the pages of her books, well, that's something for Sanji to tuck in very close to his chest.
Bound away for the grand line. North blue kids ain't got no sleds. Heave away, haul away.
Slide down hills in a cupfish head, and
we are bound for the Grand Line.
Heave her up, my bully, bully boys.
Heave away, away.
Heave her up, and don't you make a noise, and we're
bound away for the Grand Line.
Red line shoes ain't got no soles.
Heave away, haul away.
Got burnt off from walking on coals. And
we are bound for the Grand Line.
Heave her up, my bully, bully boys.
Heave away, haul away.
Heave her up. And don't you make a noise, and we're
bound away for the Grand Line.
Those all blue waters are out there, I knows.
Heave away, haul away.
We're all blue bound just as fast as she goes, and
we are bound for the Grand Line.
Heave her up, my bully, bully boys.
Heave away, haul away.
Heave her up, and don't you make a noise, and we're
bound away for the Grand Line.
End of chapter 1. Author's notes. The song the Baratier cooks and Sanji sing is the short hall shanty Cape Cod Girls, localized for the One Piece universe, so to speak. I was thinking specifically about the Dan Zane's version while writing this. Short haul shanties are work songs, meant to keep sailors on rhythm while hauling or rowing. They're also just great call and responses to keep everyone working when they don't want to. Podficker's notes. I took the artistic liberty of setting and arranging the West Blue Girls song to the Peter Marston version and harmony specifically. I also added the last three verses starting with North Blue Kids, Red Line Shoes, and All Blue Waters because I wanted there to be a verse for each of the four blues, and then as I was reading through different lyrics for Cape Cod Girls, there was one about shoes have got no soles because they've all burnt off from walking on coals, and I was like, I can make that be about the red line. And then for symmetry, and also because I think the all blue as a legend and mythology would be represented in things like sea shanties, I wanted the final ending one to be about the all blue. And the final verse in the version that I was looking at was about we're Cape Cod bound, just as straight as she goes. So I thought that fit pretty well, and I'm quite happy with how this turned out. If you've enjoyed this story, please take this time to go let Ghost Rider of the Machine know, and if you've enjoyed this podfic version of it, please let us know. Thanks for listening.